Welcome to episode 58 of The Summoned, a podcast dedicated to the Judgment Eternal Champions miniatures game. I'm one of your hosts, David Coakley, a.k.a. Fabius Bile on the Discord, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, David Wonky, Wonky Kong on the Discord. And how goes the evening for you, Wonky?
Doing good. Just surviving a blizzard. We just had two rounds of snow with another round tomorrow, so...
Yeah, we're doing the same thing down here. Had two rounds of it already, and we're getting ours tonight, so...
Yeah, I think we get ours. It's probably the same system. But yeah, we're getting like, I think 6 to 12 tomorrow, depending on where you are.
They've said like 5 to 8 for us, and like negative 35 degree temps with wind chill and everything. And I'm like, oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah, we don't get that until I think like Sunday or Monday. We hit the, I think we're single digit highs and yeah, probably like negative 20 wind chills or something stupid.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be stupid. I'm interested to see what I wake up to in the morning, because if it's bad enough, that's what my vacation is there for, to go, no.
Yeah, I definitely don't blame you.
Which, that means if I'm around, hey, more games of Judgment. Woohoo!
Yeah, it's not a terrible way to spend it playing Vessel.
That's right. So, well, guys, I know we have a jam-packed episode regarding cons, regarding some the league stuff. So let's dig right in, right off the bat, with our first segment. Hobby Corner! All right, Wonky. You normally aren't working on anything. Has any of that changed?
I'm working on one thing. Oh. And I'm talking with a couple of different people about trying to figure out some good ways to do 2D terrain.
Okay.
Because one of the things I've been trying to do is build my own tournament kit.
Sure.
So, makes sense. Yeah, I'm going to be put in contact with someone that does some MDF cutting. Mm-hmm. Because I tried to find some custom MDF cutting, and I had a terrible time of it.
Okay.
So if you know anyone that does custom MDF cutting, you or any listeners, you should really DM me on the Discord.
Okay.
Because my other option is to just 3D print hexes.
Right.
But getting someone that can print them, and also I don't know if I necessarily want them in resin, because resin's expensive.
Right.
So like an FDM printer, right? Because the quality doesn't matter. I literally just want like a, I don't know, 3 millimeter thick, like essentially like proxy base thick. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the 45 mil, and then in the different templates.
Right.
So the 4X, the 2X. And then I've seen someone do it where they did some of that, and then they kind of printed artwork to put over the top, and then I think they painted the edges a color, like the color that makes sense for whatever the terrain type
make
is.
Make it green.
Correct. Okay. And I really, really liked the look of that. I do like the mushroom terrain. It's grown on me in person with it painted. However, for trying to get multiple tables put together...
Right.
Because I want to probably have like 8 tables I can fully do myself.
Right.
It's kind of like my rough goal, if not more in the future. Because like, I've got enough clocks from when my brother was a TO for War Machine.
Right.
That he's like, anytime I want them, got them. I think I have enough mats now.
Okay.
Because at Warfare Weekend, I talked with the Mats by Mars guy. And once I get the stuff shipped to me, that got left behind at Warfare Weekend, which I'm working on. I think I bought 4 or 5.
Okay.
And then I've got 2 of the neoprene mats. One mm-hmm. of the, was it FLG? I think it was Frontline Gaming was doing the early beta mats. And then I've got one of the new ones. So that puts me to like 6 tables. And then my brother bought a Mat by Mars mat and has a neoprene mat. So between me and him, that puts me to 8 mats. And then I think I've got... one set of 2D terrain from the discontinued Muzan Mini stuff that I'm still very sad about.
Right.
And then I've got, I think, 1.5 sets of 3D printed terrain. So, and then my brother, I think, was getting a set printed from another friend that did the Kickstarter.
Right.
So that puts me to like a couple of sets of terrain, but I need to expand terrain. And then lastly is monsters, but I'm not as worried about monsters at the moment, because you can just use proxy bases. I actually have some like V1 stuff I had where it's like acrylic that someone laser cut,
right?
for a couple of sets, so like I probably can do like 2-ish tables worth of monsters off what I have. And then most people that show up to events tend to have some monsters, right? So if you bought a starter, you got an Inferno and a Gloom.
Yep.
If you and your opponent both have an Inferno and a Gloom, that covers, I think, like 6 of the 8 maps for the 1-3s. The tier 4s are a little bit different, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard to invest that much in monsters yet, but usually people tend to have quite a bit of monsters. I'm working on that. That's kind of been my thing I'm working on the side. I still do have my Warfare Weekend models. I really should just get them together.
You and me both.
Because I guess if I want to play with any of them at AdeptCon, they will also need to get painted.
Yep.
Which the one guy I tend to go to for painting tends to get a bit busy around AdeptCon because he's got a lot of people that want stuff painted. So
yeah, that I could see.
So yeah.
Makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, I'm working on, it's more behind the scenes stuff. It's not like I don't have a lot of models to build nor paint at this point for V2 stuff. So I'm trying to figure out terrain stuff, and I'm hoping in the next week or so I'll have a better idea on that fact. And then maybe I can share what I did. But yeah, if anyone listening knows someone that custom cuts MDF stuff, I would be very interested in talking to that person. Because as much as I like 3D printing, I think MDF might be cheaper.
Probably.
Doing at a bit more of the scale I want to do it at. Because I'm talking about probably buying 4 to 6 tables worth of 2D terrain. So.
Yeah, and that's a lot.
That's not an insignificant amount of MDF work. So
That makes sense.
So what about you? I know you had some paint on, was it like a Brock or something? I think you were kind of working on.
There was a Brock and a Zyvera that I was working on for a while, and I had to push them to the side because I have a Warhammer tournament coming up at the beginning of February. That's a team tournament with a buddy, and so I had to push them to the side to get a 1,000-point list of Seraphon painted for that, and I actually just finished them up this week. So that was fairly exciting because I tried some new techniques I hadn't tried before on them, like to get a crystal ball style effect on one of the pieces, a crystal skull for another one.
Yeah.
And my first attempts at it, not, you know, the greatest, but obviously that's the point. They're first attempts. All I can 100% do is get better as I do it. But, the models themselves are done. I just have basing left to do on them, and that's going to take a couple days to get the stuff in that I want for their basing. So in the meantime, I'm shifting focus back to my Judgment models. And
ooh, that's exciting.
Yes, I'm very excited about that. I'm trying to figure out who I'm going to go work on, because while I want to work on the Brock and Zyvera still to keep them going, I'm kind of at a point where I need to reinvigorate the creative juices a little bit, like in the Judgment style that I do. To get back into them. So I'm kind of looking for a fresh face right now, and I'm not sure who it's going to be. Any recommendations?
I mean, did you paint your sticks yet?
I haven't even built my sticks yet.
Well, that feels like a surefire.
I'm going to be honest. I cheated. I stole Gamer Dad's sticks that he painted. Mm-hmm. Early on from Warfare, so I do have a painted sticks.
I mean, don't you need to return that to Gamer Dad? Geez, swiping his models.
Oh no, because I ended up buying him an unbuilt one so he could repaint it in a different fashion he wanted to.
Gotcha.
So it was I stole it from him, and while he was letting me use it at Warfare, the ankle snapped. I B-spawned it back together, and it looks fine. There's no glue residue or anything, but I felt bad, so I just replaced it for him so he could build it, and then if he breaks it, it's his own fault.
Yeah.
And so now I'll end up with 2 sticks, which realistically I don't mind that.
Sticks was one, like the V1 model was like, I think I had to pin, I think it was like his knee all the way to through the bottom of the base or something when I did mine.
Oh.
And it, like, I remember doing it because I'm like, I've got to get that ankle But his sides are pretty fiddly too, and even on the V1.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, knock on all the wood. I don't play a whole lot of sticks, but I have yet to break the sides. I probably should. Sticks is nutty to me. He just doesn't fit in some of the warbands I play, but maybe I just need to throw them in and see what happens. Because, sticks is good.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that he's definitely a model I want to work on myself, but I've got the fallback for him, so I'm thinking I've got Lori and I've got Yorgoth that still need to be built, and then I've still got a ton of models that need to be painted for our, you know, from the V2 stuff itself.
Yeah.
It's just about figuring out which ones I want. And I think the biggest thing that'll help me is figure out what models I want to play with for like the next 3 months.
That usually is a little bit helpful.
Yep. I mean, I've got my fallback, which means realistically, if I need to, for my Tomas list from Warfare, I only need to paint Maltique and Fazeel before I'm, you know, and then I'm done with that because I painted the others for Warfare last year. But I may bring a Bruellen list or I may bring a Krognar list. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Wait, you said your Fazeel's not painted?
Correct.
What?
Well, hey, I had to literally do the conversion last year right before Warfare Weekend. So he has his sky head with the nice.
Yeah, I think you gotta get him painted. Because even if you play like Torin, you were playing Fazeel in your Torin warband. And aren't you playing Fazeel in your Krognar warband right now?
So I am.
Yeah, so I think you know who needs to be painted next. I really thought your Fazeel was painted already.
No, he's not. You are right. He probably does need to be painted. It's just one of those things I hadn't gotten around to him. And I really want that, like, because he is such a big model, staple model for me, I really want his paint job to look fantastic.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I need that proper hit of inspiration, which, for those that don't know, I'm a big D&D fanatic and such like that, and I'm going to be picking up another campaign that was going forward, and I'm hoping one of my players will help me with some inspiration for that.
Yeah, I think, I definitely would think that Fazeel would make the most sense.
Yeah.
To definitely get going there, because, you play him so much. I would have thought that.
Yeah, I know. I'm a disappointing Lord of the Undead, I know.
Yeah, I mean, let's get your undead painted up. That should be a little bit of the focus. So
that it may be that, or I may even start with Zim first, just to get that color theme back down that I want, and then.
Yeah, because I think you'd want the undead to kind of look somewhat similar.
Yeah, I think Well, maybe not. I don't know.
We'll see. I guess it depends on what you think of the undead stuff. But yeah. Okay.
So that's what's in my hobby corner in the future.
Okay.
I think that's probably enough about that. Mm-hmm. Let's jump into some of the more important information in our Judgment News. All right, Wonky, let's talk about it. Big event. We're already 11 days into January, which means we're really only about at this point a week away from LVO.
Yeah, LVO is next weekend, so so 18th starts.
Ugh. Hard to believe that we're a week away from that already.
So LVO is coming, and I believe this is actually going to be the first rated event because they're trying to get things off the ground a bit. But I don't know how big the events are going to be.
Do we know how many people are going right now?
We do not, because the way that they do their ticketing.
Okay.
So unlike other cons, I'll look at Adeptcon and Warfare Weekend, like as it, like it normally shows how many people are there, how many seats are left.
Mm-hmm.
The LVO stuff doesn't.
Oh, okay.
It's just like, I think if the tickets are available, you can buy them. There's no, like, there are only X amount left. I think. Okay. So, and it was also a little bit weird. Okay. Also was a little bit weird, with the, because it's like one ticket for multiple events.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so like it's a you buy a judgment event, and now you can play all the judgment stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the they're doing a Friday 3's veto, a Saturday 5's veto, and then Sunday is casual slash free stuff.
Okay.
So but we don't know how many seats are left. If it, I mean, last LVO, I think we were 8-8 or 6-8 or something, I think. Obviously, we're in a very different different scenario. Just because the, you know, the game's basically out now.
Yeah.
So we're in that kind of scenario. So it could be bigger. I also don't know how many seats. We're also kind of a late add in terms of table space last year. And they just kind of like fit us in. Because I was there last year.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, LVO's fun. It's kind of wild seeing how big the 40K tournament is. It's still, to this day, it blows my mind. Like, I've been to Adepticon, which is big. But, like, the 900-some-person LVO tournament still blows my mind. Like,
yeah,
100%. Like, it was wild. But, yeah, LVO's good. I mean, if you get to Vegas, usually it's relatively cheap to fly to Vegas, depending on where you're at. I know flights from Milwaukee tend to be pretty cheap to Vegas. But
getting there is the cheap part. Staying there, that's where it gets pricey.
So we had a room in the Rio, which is where the convention is.
Yep.
I don't remember being insane, but I'd have to double check exactly what it was. Cause like I got in they had a block of rooms for the con.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it was super wild, for the room. And then, yeah, you're not far off the strip. So even like I brought my wife. So my wife had never been to Vegas before. So like we did a bunch of the Vegas-y stuff as well. Because we went out there a couple days early too, so we could like walk the strip and go to different casinos, and I did a bit of gambling and, you know, so
makes sense.
I don't know. I thought LVO was fun, but the big thing for me is I have to fly.
Yeah,
that definitely increases cost a lot versus driving. So, all right, but LVO is coming up, so by the time this comes out, probably be a couple days away.
I was gonna say it'll probably be roughly 5 or 6 days. Yeah.
Yeah. So what is the next con that's coming up?
So then the next con that's coming up, which is roughly like 2 weeks after that, is Captain Con. And that is February 2nd through the 4th. That is happening in Warwick, Rhode Island. Currently, the only event I believe that they have is a threes. We don't know if it's veto. I would assume it is, but it might be blind. And that's on Friday, the 2nd of February.
Yeah, I thought it was blind pick.
Okay.
It's supposed to be like an intro level.
Oh, okay.
My understanding.
Then blind would definitely make sense.
I might have misread, though.
Okay.
Because there hasn't been as much discussion about Captain Con with some of the other stuff. So.
Right, which makes sense. So, but that's coming up almost like 2 weeks after. So, you know, for anybody who's not going to LVO and is out on that that section of area, go hit them up, right? Check out Judgment while you're out there. If you maybe you have gotten some Vassal games in and you're looking for a way to get some in person, there's your way.
So, yeah, and I assume they would be running some casual stuff as well.
Yeah, I would think so, especially.
I'm not super familiar with Captain Con at all.
Neither of us are.
I've heard about it a bit, and I wouldn't hate to give it a go. But again, that's another one I got to fly to, and already doing a couple of cons a year, that becomes a bit difficult having to fly.
Absolutely. So, all right, Wonky. Now, the next one I know you and I are both super, super excited for, and that's because as far as I know, we're both going.
Yes. Right? The next one is, I'll be there.
Okay. What's the next one?
Adepticon.
Yeah!
So the big guy, or what will be one of the big guys, I guess. It will be the normal kickoff of the tournament season once we get more in a groove. So Adepticon, March 20th through 24th in Schaumburg, Illinois, which is right outside Chicago.
Yep.
Huge con, super fun. Mm-hmm. I cannot, recommended enough, I guess would be the proper word.
Yeah, like is a con, like, I'm going to interrupt you here real quick with this, but this is a con that, like, I plan part of my year around myself. I'm sure you do too, because it's big enough. But like, this is a con that I go and I see people that I haven't seen for a year, right? Like, mm-hmm. I make sure and I'll hit like a couple of classes for painting to push my hobby or something like that. But I also make sure where this is like 5 days long, I give myself a solid, you know, day and a half to go and just hang out with people and see them and get to actually have a beer with them and catch up. That's how big this kind of event is for someone like me personally.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's massive. It's really the only way to kind of talk about it a bit is just that, yeah, it's huge. It's, I mean, I don't know, it's like what, 6,000 or 7,000 or something people,
yeah,
or whatever it is. Like, I mean, I think it's starting to outgrow the convention center it's in a bit. Because like last year and the year before, they had to have an offsite area.
And I mean, they still do this year.
Yep. Which I'm really hoping Judgment won't be.
We'll see.
I think last year was a lot of the historicals.
Yeah. Which I wouldn't be surprised if they keep that way.
Correct. I'm kind of hoping that's the case. Just because I've got a room in the hotel again. So
you did?
Yeah.
You bastard.
Yeah, so definitely having the being able to be on site the whole time is really nice. But yeah, so DepCon, big, and it's big for a lot of games. I think like all the Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
And Atomic Mass is massive. Obviously, yep. Warhammer 40K, Age of Sigmar, and the whatever the, what are they calling the new, the, or not the new one, the old new one.
Oh, the old
one.
The
rank and file. Old World, that's what it is. Yep. So like, I think they're running that.
Well, I mean, you've got Kill Team, you've got Warcry, you've got Sigmar, yeah, you've got 40K. Yeah, you can sit here and list a bunch of them that are there. You know, so it's a huge con. So let's talk about the events at AdeptCon for Judgment. And the first one to bring up, right, would be the Threes event.
Yeah, so the Threes event is on Friday. I believe it's, I got sanity check the packet, which I don't have in front of me at the moment. but the start time, I believe, is like 9 a.m. or something. So
that
it's,
sounds right.
And it will go, it's 24 people. We are sold out, which means that is four, possibly five.
Yep.
Dude,
I don't know about you, but I know I was so excited when A, I got into it, but then B, like a half hour into my work day, I checked and people on the Discord are like, yep, I'm on the wait list. And I was like, we have a wait list?
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So both events. Okay. So it says 9 o'clock on the AdeptCon website.
Okay.
So I don't remember what the packet says off the top of my head. Cause the packet also has like a rough round time thing. I do want to call out that the round times are approximate. Like obviously if clocks finish, you know, round finishes early or whatnot, like you will go faster if possible. I want to call that out, and I'm pretty sure it should say that in the packet. If not, you've heard it here first. But yeah, so we got 24. We sold out. I think we sold out threes in about a half hour.
I would say that sounds about right.
Something like that. They are requesting additional seats to bump it up to 32. However, I don't, from my understanding, we won't hear anything until at least February 1st. Because I think basically what they do is they see what people register for.
Mm-hmm.
And then they might be like, okay, well, you know, you said your event's going to be 64 people, but it's only going to be, we'll say, 30 or 32. So then like, okay, we can reclaim, you know, 16 tables worth of space. Because I can't imagine trying to plan how you schedule and how you like plan out where all these events go. Like that's gotta be nuts to me.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure they probably have a pretty reasonable system for doing it because they've been doing it for a while, but yeah, it's gotta be a lot of work. But yeah, so they are going to try and bump it up to 32. I'm assuming anyone that's on waitlist will get in first. So if you still want to get in, I would get on the waitlist. I don't know how deep the waitlist is. And I believe we'll have to go in order of the waitlist day of for people. So I don't know exactly how to handle that. But yeah, so that part will be fun. So yeah, so we've got threes on Friday, and then we've got a fives on Saturday. Saturday, the fives is also sold out at 32. So 32 is guaranteed to be a five-round event unless we have drops. I think you'd have to have quite a few drops, or you'd have to have people that are undefeated drop, essentially, to not have a five-round event with 32 people. So it will be a long day. It starts at 8 a.m. I think we're doing a short lunch and a short dinner, but it's probably going to be like a 12-hour day.
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. This is where, like, we talked about, I think it was actually almost a year ago, being prepared for a con. I think I'm going to have, like, I'm going to try to make sure I have a portable cooler with me that's going to have water, you know, maybe a little bit of food in it, or snacks or something, just so that way I'm there ready to go myself. And I'm obviously going to try and keep enough so if there is somebody around who's like, man, I just don't have time. Yeah, here's a water.
Keep yourself hydrated, man. Yeah, so I know last year we had 22 in the fives, and we only did a top table. However, with 32, I mean, you're going to have – I mean, I guess you still could technically do top table. But because of tournament season and ranking points, I don't think that's actually –
I think with tournament season and ranking points, you have to play it out, I think.
I think you're going to have to. Like, you'll be able to drop if you want. Right, which will impact where your ranking in the day is. But I don't know if we can just do top table.
Speaking of top table.
Yep.
We did. I know that it was asked because we had talked about it on the podcast last time, and Guns clarified that the top table, those two players, will be the ones who get the auto invite.
Okay.
Yep. He did clarify that, so
yeah, that's good to point that out. I think that makes a lot of sense.
I think so, too. Yeah,
it is possible to drop off the top, to drop out of second with tie breaks and things, but if you're undefeated going into last round and we do top table stuff. So so top two will 100% get in for the Invitational in January at LVO 2025. A couple of other quick notes. Painting is required.
Yes.
It is Adepticon. You must be fully painted. The only thing that I will not be particular about is if we use your monsters and they are not painted. I don't know what the actual rules are when it comes to like 3D terrain and monsters and whatnot. When it comes to like painted or not, but I think monsters are something that we definitely can probably get away with, is just my thought. That's spitballing a little bit. I might have to follow up on that to make sure.
I was gonna say, it might not hurt to ask Guns
or because worst case, we're just gonna use proxy bases, and then they can't, like, no one's ever gonna know that we had unpainted, like,
right?
Okay, we just use a proxy base instead of a model.
Yep,
like, I think that might be reasonable. The packet's been published, so it's the same, essentially the same packet that has been out there for pretty much every other convention. It just says it's got the maps in there, so there are a couple of different maps in the LVO one. I think we're expanding out. I think LVO is none of the new terrain maps, where Adepticon, I think three of the maps are ones that have like the 2x smoke, 2x lava, etc. If you have any questions or anything, anyone that's going, feel free to ping me on the Discord. I believe my email is also in the packet if you would prefer to email me. But I'll be running the events. So you don't get to play against some really sweet, awesome Gruul tech I'll probably have.
Let's be real. Your Gruul tech will just be an Ista anyway, so.
Well, here's the problem. I would probably want to get top Gruul, so it would be it'll probably need to be Gruul. because
That's fair.
I mean, granted, I probably won't get to play in a whole lot of events this year because I'm assuming I'll be running a bunch.
Right.
I'll probably, like, because even running local ones, we'll see. I had a few people like, well, why don't you play in the events? I'm like, I don't know. It feels weird as a TO to play in the event.
I'm 100% there with you, man. It's.
Yeah, so and granted, judgment events are pretty easy to run, all things told, from my experience compared to multiple other game systems. So, So that part's nice.
No, I think it comes down to the aspect of, you know, you're, because you're TOing, you're removing yourself from the situation and making it to where there is no questionable calls where somebody could be like, oh, you made a call against me because you're the TO. No, I didn't make a call against you because I'm playing you as the TO. It's
So it just, and like,
it's an integrity thing, in my opinion.
People mention, like, oh, like, if have someone else do a judge call for your game, I'm like, I don't want to interrupt someone else's game.
Right.
That they're in the middle. So it is what it is. Like, I don't mind. I'll get, like, if people drop and there's a buy, I'll be a buy buster, right? I'll do that. Or, you know, plenty of casual games in, so I'm not worried.
Well, maybe one of these years I'll, you know, get with you and we'll talk about what I need to do to help TO. Yeah.
Well, and I think, I mean, they'll probably, as we get going more, you know, more people from, you know, KuchaCaster might run it, or the Galea brothers might come in the future as well. So that kind of changes some of that. But
well, we're always hoping they come.
Yeah, correct. So I don't mind doing it, and I don't know, I really don't mind doing it, to be honest.
Right.
So, but yeah, so last thing for AdeptCon, I don't, it's not in the packet, it's not a formal event, but I am fairly confident because stuff my brother is doing, I will have to be around on Sunday, which is not always the case. Sometimes I tend to head home like Sunday morning-ish, which means I think we're going to try some unofficial... like free-for-all or 2v2 stuff on Sunday.
You're damn right we're going to, because
if we don't do it at like the casual play at nights and stuff, because again, you know, I brought up, I think last podcast or two ago, I want to push that more, and I think part of that is being able to really stress test the rules a lot better than I think they, because there just hasn't been, I don't think there's been as many people playing those formats.
Probably
so I
not.
Think stress testing the rules would be good, so that will be a thing. I'll probably coordinate that through the Discord, and then it might, well, I gotta see what table situation is too, because that might be hard. I know there's not a massive amount of events on Sunday, and I think the con closes early-ish, but
Well, I mean, here's the thing I can tell you straight up. I know Watts, Coonerbus, and myself, we are staying through Sunday this year instead of heading out on Sunday. So we will definitely be around to play.
Okay. Yeah, so I'll figure that out once. I might throw out some stuff on the Discord and see what the interest is. But it might be a little bit fly by the seat of our pants, because we'll have to find table space.
Yep.
Which we'll see what the options are. So, all right. That was enough about Adepticon.
All right. So now...
What do we got next, Fabius?
So next, instead of a dojo... we're going to talk about That's Judgment, folks, part 22. So that's the current league that we're going into. And Wonky, well, you have been...
we're a ways in.
Well, okay. we're a ways into, you know, tomato, tomato, right? I mean, we've got how many people in this league, Wonky?
We have 22. Well, okay, so the stats are going to have both EU and...
okay.
NA, sure. So, but the NA one has 22. Okay. So I was trying to bring up Europe, but it has 6.
You're good, you're good. So between the two of them, we have 28.
28 total players.
Which is fantastic. And then for the NA one, which is the one we're taking part in.
Yeah, 22.
We have 22. So. That's a fantastic number, considering I know, literally the last league or the one before that, we were capping out somewhere at, like, 12?
Something like that, so we were hitting, I think, like, 16 to 18 a couple of times we've hit that.
Yeah.
And then we've kind of hit a bit of a lull.
Yep.
And then we kind of, as more people have been getting stuff... and the Kansas City meta has been kind of exploding a bit. kind of came in out of nowhere, but they've got quite a few players, I think, that are playing. So we definitely have a handful of those guys, which I think has kind of bulked up the numbers. We've had a couple of people, I think, that haven't been playing. Like, I don't think I haven't played in a league for a bit.
Yep.
So, like, I kind of was playing in the league. I think we've had a couple other people that were taking some breaks or whatever and are joining in. And we have more people that have gotten models and want to play games. So Vassal is a way you can do that.
Yep. So let's get right into the stats of this, wonky. Who is by far the biggest god right now in this league?
Yeah, so we've got, 28 total. So we had 8 Tomas players.
Woo!
Which is high. I mean, Tomas has been, I feel like it's been relatively popular for a while.
Yep.
They feel pretty strong at times. If we do like a quick look at Longshanks, if we do the last year, which includes last year's Adepticon and whatnot, they are the second most played, where Istow and Krognar are tied for the most played.
Okay, so realistically,
but only by six games. So they're third, with Krognar and Istow being at the same, but it's only by 6 games. So
that's not bad.
Yeah, so Krognar and Istow are at 234. Tomas is at 228. So that's pretty close. Tomas feels like it builds pretty smooth nowadays.
I think so.
There's some core models you tend to take. They've got some really fun models. I think they're pretty strong in some areas. And Tomas, I think, is pretty good.
Yeah.
Next up is Gruul. So my favorite. I'm not even playing him. But Gruul's at 6, which to me is actually a bit surprising because they are the least played god by a fair amount. So remember, we had 234 as the highest, 228. Gruul's played only 146.
Damn.
So a pretty sizable drop off is the least played. So Gruul getting a lot more representation is good. So we'll see how that goes. And then the next highest is Krognar and Torin at 4 apiece, which I think Torin is one of the other lowest. So Torin is the fifth most played god. So right above Gruul. And then Krognar, again, Krognar is up there, but, you know, maybe people don't want to play him. And then you have 3 Burrell and 3 Istow, which, again, Istow is pretty heavily played and is not here. But I think some of that, again, for in-person events, if you only have the starter kits, Istow and Krognar are kind of like the two you can mostly play.
Yep.
Without kind of missing some core pieces. But now that people have their resin pledge, and they're probably, you know, playing stuff that they have. So, granted, it is Vassal. You can play the stuff you don't have. But I did hear from a couple of people that they were playing based on the models that they owned.
Yep.
So that they were, like, getting Vassal practice with what they could play in person.
And that makes good sense to me, you know.
All right. So are there any surprises to you on that when it kind of comes down? I mean, the breakdown's not crazy.
Like, the breakdown's not crazy like we have seen in the past. I will say I'm a little surprised to see Tomas at 8. Not because they're not, like, they're not represented. It's just, usually we only see, like, there's maybe, you know, 3 or 4 people playing it.
Yeah.
Especially when I know, like, myself and I think even Coonerbus this league is not playing Tomas.
Whoa. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, I think he's not. Maybe he is. I have to double check.
No, he's playing Tomas.
He is? Okay. Yeah. I couldn't remember if he had decided to play his Torin list or if he had decided to play his Tomas.
Okay.
But, like, myself, I'm not playing Tomas. I'm actually lumped into the Krognar mix this time. And we can blame and / thank Robbie for that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so, I think this spread feels pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think Tomas, I feel like if you have access to some of the Tomas models, I feel like a lot of people, like, it naturally builds a warband pretty well. And I think that helps.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could basically play all champions and feel pretty good.
Yeah.
Where something like Torin really doesn't want to do that.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe that's also why Gruul is a bit popular. I think, is also another one that, like, all right, just grab 7 of the champions and you probably have a pretty good warband. I'll be interested to see how this goes from league to league. I mean, we're also had a, I feel like, you know, the leagues are 22 people and then 6. So, like, the NA league felt like it jumped up a lot. So that might shift it up. And we'll see what it goes. But the Gruul being that high is a little surprising to me because they just historically have been not.
Right. I guess,
no, that's fair. For quite a while. So, I think I think it's not a bad spread. We definitely see a couple of people at least playing each god, which I think is good. Mm-hmm. If we were seeing something where we have almost 30 people and there's like zero...
There are no Tauren.
or something. Yeah, then I would be a bit more concerned.
Yeah.
About balance. Again, it's hard. It's a single league. We would have to kind of take a step back and look at, you know, and then you could also argue, okay, is 600 games really enough games to start drawing enough of a, is that statistically important enough or whatever you want, or significant enough to be, you know.
Is it giving us enough information to actually make a judgment call of, hey, this god's broken and this one is, you know, boring that nobody wants to play or we need to change it?
Yeah.
Things like that, yeah. No, I mean, realistically, I'm a little surprised Tomas is as high as it is. I agree with you on the Gruul that with as much as we had seen people not playing Gruul,
yeah.
I do wonder if a lot of that happens to be some of these new, you know, like newer Kansas City guys and stuff that have chosen to jump in, which more power to you. Play Gruul, please. Enjoy the hell out of it. You know, because I know Gruul fell into a place of less popularity after Adepticon last year.
Oh, even before Adepticon.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying
it's been like bottom two from a representation standpoint, but it was very high win rates
prior
to the 2-hex change. If you filter out the 2-hex change, it drops a fair amount.
Yeah.
Again, so on Longshank stats. And, you know, is that enough games? Is that enough events? Because the one thing, too, that gets a little bit weird when you're looking at Longshanks is a bulk of the Longshanks data is the online leagues.
Right.
Which tends to have the same, people. Like, very same pool of players.
Yep.
Which can, you know, kind of skew things a little bit when you look at it that way. So there's a little bit of that. I don't know how significant.
Yeah.
That is, again, as we get more games, more conventions going, more events, we'll get more data. And then as soon as we start getting more convention stuff going, I think you'll see a better spread because you'll see different player pools. Because I feel like with just the online leagues, it does tend to be quite a bit of the same people month over month or, you know, every other month or whatever. Agreed. So.
Yeah. And so, like I said, it's good to see some of that some of that breath of, you know, fresh air into how many people are playing what. So I'm very happy to see that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually going to be very intrigued to take a good look at the Adepticon stats because both those events could be 32 people.
Yep.
And I think there'll be some good crossover between Vassal and Adepticon, but I don't think it will be, like, you know, a vast majority of it. I think there'll probably be like a 50% crossover or something, but I think we'll have a lot of people that aren't playing on Vassal and we'll see some new stuff, and that's great. So,
All right. Take it away.
Time to look at some hero stuff.
Yeah. So what do we got, Wonky, for heroes? Are we going to talk about, you know, top three to five taken heroes? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think we should. So there's very clearly, I mean, if you want to kind of put them in tiers, I guess, there's very clearly a couple of tiers. So I think A tier by representation is Marcus, Thorgar, Mazuzi, Rakir, Brock, Dhonrogar, and Astariel. Those ones are very clearly taken quite a bit. I think it's, so Marcus and Thorgar were taken...
Looks like
13 times out of 28. That
looks like 13. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, almost a 50% take rate. Now, granted, there was a fair bit of Gruul, and I think it's very common to take Thorgar and Gruul, but that only accounts for possibly six. I didn't validate if he was taken in all the Gruul warbands, but probably was.
It wouldn't surprise me, and I know there was some talk on the Discord recently about Thorgar and how he was, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised because that happened prior to this league. I wouldn't be surprised if there were people who specifically grabbed him as well.
Yeah, I mean, like,
we're going to put him to the test here.
Yeah, I think a part that's more interesting when it comes to heroes sometimes is how often they're taken out of God.
Yeah.
So Thorgar is Bruelen and Gruul, which if he made all 9 of those lists would only be 9 of the 13. So there's still a pretty high chunk taken out of God for him.
I think he's taken probably out of God in a lot of Ista and Krognar, more than likely, is where I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think Krognar is probably one of them.
I'm actually going through looking right now.
Yeah, so like I take him in my Ista warband.
Mm-hmm.
He is in a Krognar warband,
mm-hmm,
and a Tauren warband.
Yep.
So an Ista, a Tauren, a Krognar, and another Tauren. So yeah, 2 Tauren, 1 Krognar, 1 Ista.
Yeah, I mean, he's showing up in multiple different warbands, which is kind of not too terribly surprising, because as you know, we've said in the past, if you can put on pants, you can pilot Thorgar.
Yeah, I think the big thing is he doesn't really take fate. Like, yeah, you don't need to give him items. You don't need fate to, like, get his damage out. And he's just really consistent.
Yeah.
He can punish him pretty effectively as well if you've got a little bit of fire or something. Or,
yep,
you know, when he goes down to Agi 1, it makes it pretty easy to put a lot of damage into him.
Yep.
But, yeah, I think Thorgar is just... Yeah, the putting on pants comment for Thorgar, which I think is a little bit
It's oversimplification.
There's definitely ways you can punish him, but he is easier to apply to do stuff right. So I think that's part of the thing. I think Marcus has kind of been one of the better defenders for quite a while.
Marcus is your all around boy, man.
Yeah, he does a lot of setup, which I think is why you're seeing him outside of God.
Yep.
So Marcus is what? He is Ista and
Ista Tomas.
So that accounts for 11, and he was also taken 13 times, but I don't think he was taken in, like, I didn't take him in my Ista.
I know I took him in Krognar.
Yeah, and I've seen him in Bruelen. I see him in you have him in Krognar. A bunch of Tomas. A bunch of Tomas. Tomas. I'm assuming Gruul. There's 2 Gruul warbands that have him. Bruelen, I see him in.
Yeah, so...
Another Krognar. Gruul.
I think so it just goes to speak... I think it goes to speak with what you said, right? He's kind of like the ultimate setup man. He's going to show up in a list, and he's going to do very specific things.
Yeah.
But he's good at all that he does.
Yeah, yeah. And then next 2 were Mazuzi and Rakir, with Tomas taken 8 times. Seeing those at 9 apiece does not surprise me.
Hell no.
I'm pretty sure every time I play Tomas, those are... I mean, I've tried a couple of warbands without Rakir, going a more curse route with Nefanine when she was available on the vessel. Until she comes out again, she was removed, however. But with a more poison centric, and Mazuzi is just good. Like, him and Diamond Armor are very, very strong.
Yep.
Brock doesn't surprise me is next up. You know, there's a fair chunk of Ista. There's a bunch of Bruelen. And Brock, I think, is in a bunch of the Tauren warbands again. Because, again, Brock and Thorgar are your, like, low fate investment. Yep. Pretty durable damage dealers, bruisers. Someone doesn't surprise me. Dhonargar, I think, has been... Well, I mean, there's 6 Gruul players, so that, you know...
That accounts for 6 out of your 9, probably.
Yeah, 6 of the 8. I've got him in my Ista. I know he's outside of God in a few places. And then Astariel's been pretty popular. She's been pretty popular out of God, I think.
Well, okay,
I was taking a look.
Look, you've done it yourself, where it's, I'm going to take Gruul with her. Cool, yeah. Staff of Gruul, fire.
Yeah, I think there's a couple where they're not really bringing any other source of fire.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm seeing her in Bruelen that does have Lugdrug. I've got her in Ista, Tauren. I see her in another Bruelen one with just Lugdrug for other fire. A couple of times in Tauren. And then there is one Tomas player that brings her. So that's kind of an interesting option there.
Nice.
Well, they have Zim plus Astariel, so they're definitely making sure they have some sort of magical range presence in that warband.
Makes sense.
So yeah, Those really don't surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, as the top taken models, no.
Yeah.
That's not surprising at all to me.
Yeah, so the next tier is kind of probably just the next two sets, which are Fazeel and Thrommel at 6 apiece, and then Drogoth, Cruel, Zonya.
Yep.
And that's because, again, you have a lot of Tomas, a lot of Fazeel, but it looks like not every Tomas brought Fazeel. Because there was 8 Tomas and only 6 Fazeels, so that's actually kind of intriguing. Because, yeah.
Well, and I took him out of God.
Yeah, so let's see. Wait, why is that? 1, 2, 3. Oh, wait, something's off here.
See, that's what I was wondering. I was.
Yeah, there's way more, because there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's way more Fazeels. Crap, my counts might be a little bit off.
Ruh-roh!
Yep. That is okay. Yep, I see what the problem is. I tried to whip this up really quick before my game, and I whipped something. There are 9 total Fazeels.
Okay,
there are some warbands missing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's gonna bump him up to what? Tie with Donnie, Brock, and Rakir.
Yep.
Or does that bump him up to tie with Mizuzi? That
bumps him up to tie with Mizuzi and Rakir.
Okay. Well, so, again, yeah, with Tomas, that doesn't surprise me then.
No, I think the tiers, so like, there's going to be some numbers shifting here as I go through this, but I don't think the numbers are going to shift massively.
Right.
When it comes to this, so, yeah.
So bear with us, folks, here as we have some slight technical difficulties.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, I think it's still relatively accurate, though.
Yeah, I think that's
you're
fine.
Still going to see roughly the same kind of a tier.
It wouldn't surprise me, but it does. I was gonna say I was surprised to see his number so low when so many people were playing Tomas.
Yeah, that was my mistake trying to rush this before
you played a game tonight. So
okay, so the hero stats are a bit off. So I think we know kind of what the top is because the top's not going to shift a whole lot. So Fabius, let's take a look at the bottom, because I think this might be also interesting, because the bottom's not going to change.
Right, the bottom's not going to change.
So,
well,
what do we got going on down there?
Well, I mean, so at the very, very bottom, let's just talk about who wasn't taken to start with, right? And we'll work our way back up a little bit. At the very, very bottom, taken 0 times, is Cradle and Arya. Now, I'll be honest with you. I know I am not surprised to see Cradle at 0 because Cradle is one of those heroes that she's a very support-heavy hero, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later when we get to Arya. But she's a support hero. She's got a 1-2-4 damage grid, which makes her a little bit harder to deal with, especially with a meta that, so far as what I remember seeing, is going to be favoring Rez a little bit more.
Yeah, because even the big thing with her is, like, even one res
pushes you to where you have to impactful. Solid.
Correct. And she's only base melee 6.
Yep. And so that's like, the next thing.
Yeah.
Yep. And she's also one of those, because she is undead, it raises her, like, the skill floor to play her well. Just another step on top of that, I think.
Yeah.
Which is a really, really big thing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If her skill cap or her skill ceiling raises just that much more, it makes her more intimidating to play and more punishable to play.
Yeah. And one of the things I think with Cradle, and when we get to the next one that's not taken, is I feel like the support slot is very, very competitive right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Cradle is, like, she can kind of do good damage with dual wield, but she still, at the end of the day, is essentially a support. And because of that, like, she's in pretty high competition.
Right? Yeah.
From, like, the Lori Bellas, the...
Yeah, and that was the next thing I was going to talk about with Arya, yeah. Right? Is Arya seeing the same issue where she's taken 0 times as well... But like you just said, it's because the support slot or roll or whatever that you bring to each warband is just so highly contested right now.
Yeah, it's it's pretty wild how much that is. And it's hard to fit those, right? Because you have like soul gazers that want to fit in that kind of support role. Because when you talk like bait, like from a real high level, and this is something that I think Cheddar Caveman brought up a lot back in the day, is like when you build a warband, there's like a general kind of like framework that people tend to use, which is like two tanks, two aggressors, like two support hybrid, etc., in like one soul gazer.
Yep.
Now, obviously, you can flex that around. That's not the like you must bring this, but that is the typical kind of looking build. And people tend to take three damage dealers instead of two more times than not. So it's already eating into your support one slot, right? And then if you want a second soul gazer, that might eat again into your support slot. So not that soul gazers and other stuff can't also be support like models. Like Nias is one that definitely has a lot of support rules. But if you kind of take that very general framework that, again, you don't have to follow, you're probably having one to two of these hybrid slash support models.
Yep.
So it's very competitive when there's a lot more than two of them to pick from.
That's very true. So, you know, I think it's interesting to see that they're both taken zero times.
Yeah.
But
and
I
the
also
other one was, which one did you mention it? Sorry, I might have missed as I was updating the sheet.
That was taken zero times?
Yeah, so it was Cradle and Arya.
Yeah, okay. And I did mention Arya. I will say I'm a little surprised to see Arya taken zero times, especially with us having six Gruul players. Because where she is in God there. However, I also want to bring up the fact that you brought up the comment earlier that some of the guys have said they're playing with only the models that they have, so they get to know those. She's obviously not in the box or the starter or any of the 11, you know. So it, in one way, I'm a little surprised. In another, I'm not.
So Gruul is a faction that could be very support heavy. So like your Avatar in Gendris is kind of a support model. Yes, she can do good damage on EP turn, but not a straight damage dealer. She works well as a backup soul gazer. And then Lori Bella is also very strong. And if you're bringing both of those, it feels like it kind of pushes Arya out a little bit. That's fair. Because, yeah, she's torn in Gruul. I've tried her once or twice in Gruul. She did not work overly well for me.
Right.
When I did bring her, partially because I was playing a lot of Death Ball when I was trying her. So you're never going to get any value out of the gun. However, pulling something into the Death Ball is enjoyable. But you can do some of that with like Lori Bella that also brings a really strong gun, brings a bunch of healing for the Death Ball as well. Mm-hmm. And Arya's not doing that because her big rule is being able to allure things into and move stuff. And then she can be really difficult to kill. She's edgy five. As she levels up, she gets some really good defensive abilities.
Yep.
And the gun's really cool, but it is two action points. So it's very dicey if you're really going to get, you know, value out of it. Now, granted, it's very strong when it works, but that kind of leads to a bit of the, like,
it's, you know, the same problem we've had with Ashel, with Zafin at times, where when they work well, they feel great, right?
Yeah.
When they don't, they feel bad.
And I guess Arya might be a little bit more interesting because you're probably not primarily bringing her for the gun.
Yeah.
Right? Where Ashel and...
And Zafin, you are absolutely bringing for that weapon.
And I mean, I don't know. I've tried her in a handful of games, and maybe I need to give her some more tries. Love. But Gruul does feel... Because, like, Piper's also, like, a pseudo-support hybrid kind of damage dealer.
Yep.
And, like, I really, really... I don't know. I freaking love Piper when I play Gruul. So, I don't know, I might try her a bit more, but yeah, you don't tend to see her a whole lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and actually, yep.
No, I was going to say, if you have something else you want to say, go for it.
Yeah, I guess I was just going to kind of say the next couple that were taken, but not taken a whole lot.
Yeah.
So that is Barney at, I think, one, which actually might be me. Barney is taken once, which is me. I'm playing him in Ista, and we'll talk about that.
I have to say, my poor boy.
Yeah. It doesn't, again, he kind of fits that weird pseudo damage, kind of hybrid, kind of backup Soul Gazer slot, which is pretty competitive. And then next up, you have Piper, only taken twice, which is that same. Not, he's definitely not support. I mean, Barney is some setup, which is why I take him, but I'm a little surprised by Piper and Gruul. I think Piper and Gruul can be kind of bananas. I'm a little surprised he's only taken twice. I wasn't a big fan of Piper, and then every time I put him on the table, I just love him.
I'll be honest. I think part of the reason Piper's not taken as often is because I've seen a couple of the Gruul warbands, and they're taking some odd things.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a couple guys who, you know, and this is nothing against them. I don't want, if they listen to this, I don't want them to take it the wrong way that I'm picking on their warbands or anything. But like I've seen them, one of them has a Zhonya in their warband, right?
Yeah, which actually I kind of like as a Gruul player. Because Gruul lacks the bursts.
Right, yeah. And it's fine. But I'm saying like you, there's some of that where it's like they traded out some of those models that you might think of for that.
Correct.
To be some other models. And I think it's fantastic that they're playing with things, they're trying things out, because that's how metas get shaken up and shift and things like that, right?
No, I actually think I saw the Zhonya one, I'm like, okay, that...
I think that's... isn't that Ryan's warband?
Bad Ryan.
Yeah.
On the thing. Yeah, he's got a Zhonya, and someone's got a Rakir, which I thought was... See, the Rakir one's interesting because I thought about running Rakir way back when the staff at Gruul changed.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm like, well, if I want to try and combo poison, I feel like you can just play Tomas.
Sure.
And it feels better, but I don't hate the Rakir because I think one of the problems Gruul can have is the burst damage. They have very, very strong, consistent damage, but they lack that kind of burst to like punch through some stuff. So I actually kind of like those splashes in, and I definitely can get behind them. And
I
then
do
the
like that
one?
Splash, especially because the guy with the Rakir has a Lori too.
Yeah, Lori can get some poison on the gun. So, but yeah, and then the other one's Ankura. So Ankura's been kind of, people have been down on her for a bit. I think as the meta has shifted, I think there's a lot more range and magic in people's warbands lately, and Ankura is just not as strong into that. But I've always enjoyed Ankura because against melee stuff, she is, can be brutal.
Yep.
And she's got some fun rules. Like the bell's pretty cool. She's, you know, could be res 2 against melee, has leech, base melee 7, soul harvest 4, like kind of do a bunch of different stuff. So
yeah, I think Ankura finds a really, really nice home personally in Tauren.
Yeah.
I know I personally have a struggle with on taking Ankura in like Tomas, where she is part of the god as well, and that's just simply because everything else in my warband tends to want that fate for the from, you know, that you use to put the bell out.
Yep.
So it's one of those things that I found that like with her you have to have a plan of, okay, I'm gonna give up this thing this turn, get that bell out so I can have it.
Yeah, because you want to get value from it as much as possible.
And then you have to get it out, you know, and then, or not get it out, but you've got it out. Mm-hmm. Now you have to get value from it, and you're delaying getting something else.
Correct.
For an extra turn or so. So you got to, it's one of those things that I'm not surprised, but at the same time, it's good to see at least, you know, a couple people representing.
A couple people trying it. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I updated the stats. So Marcus is by far still number one. He was taken 15 times.
So yeah, let's talk about this top now. Holy God.
Thorgar is 13 and Rakir is 12. Donergar 10, Mazuzi 10, Fazil 9, Staryl 9. So I guess the only one that shifted with the additional warbands was Brock moved down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And Thrommel moved up a little bit from kind of where stuff was. But I mean, overall, it's not bad. I think the Marcus is kind of interesting. Just, I mean, Marcus has always been very popular because he fits into like everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if this trend continues, maybe Marcus needs a little bit of a peek to see what could be done there. Cause I don't know if it's good for a game to make a model make 50% plus warbands. That might be when we're starting to be like, okay, does this model,
I mean,
this model be in every warband?
I think before you look at that, we got to get some more sample sizes.
Right? 100%. But seeing this, you know, at least this first time, is a little bit like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So
obviously, yes, we 100% need more data, but it is one that is kind of intriguing to me.
Look, I am actually not surprised to see this at all.
No,
in my
opinion,
especially where we had so many new people jump in.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind like he's the guy you just reach out and you grab him.
Yeah,
right.
He fits into everything. So
yeah,
but it is one of those things that like every god has in God Defenders.
Yep.
It's not like Torn where they have no melee damage dealers. Like
mm-hmm.
every god has 2 to 3 defenders in their repertoire.
Sure.
So is it Marcus is that much better than those defenders even in their god? Or is Mark like, I don't know. It's something that I will be curious to see if it becomes a trend as we go. Because well, yeah, I think if something is that unilaterally taken, then it probably warrants keeping an eye on. But granted, yes, this is one, one league, and I haven't been doing this for every league. So I think I've got a couple of leagues worth, but not all 22 at this point. I think if this trend continues, it definitely needs to be looked at. So
sure. I won't say that it doesn't if this trend continues. Do I honestly think this trend is going to continue? Probably not.
Look, I don't know. I think he'll be a top 5 played model.
Sure.
In most events. And if it's where he jumps up this much, is it, I don't know. Again,
like I said, I honestly think this one is more about we had enough new people that he's just kind of that cookie cutter. You grab right out of the box, you know?
Yeah, I think, well, and the other thing too is if people are playing models they have, he is also in the starter.
Yep.
So that is the thing that definitely probably pushes it.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
I think that's probably the big thing is that do we, because it is also a defender and you normally a lot of people take 2 of them. So he's a little bit more prone to show up as well. But
and that's the thing is it's not like you have this aggressor, right? Who is peaking at 15. He's showing up in over half the warbands.
I mean, Thorgar is at 13. So.
Okay. Yeah. Thorgar is, but Thorgar so also, we've talked about Thorgar can be punished very easily too. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got that. He's a double-edged sword. Because
well, we had a lot of gruel, right? Which you tend to take. So, but it will be one that I think will be, it'll be interesting to see even historically how, and I don't know if anywhere that's being truly tracked because the way that the warbands are put in, it's just like a text field in Longshank. So you'd have to manually go.
Probably.
And, cause that's what I do to do these. Mm-hmm. Cause I manually got to punch everything in.
Right.
But I would be kind of curious because I think Marcus would be like a top 3, top 4 model.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
Every league.
Look, I mean, I'm going to ask the simplest question. If, you know, we saw Thrommel appearing all the damn time before, right? They adjusted.
He was pretty popular for a little stretch.
Right. They adjusted his Soul Harvest, right?
Yep.
Made him Soul Harvest 3. Now he shows up still, he still shows up. But he's definitely not in that top position anymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I'm not saying we should adjust Marcus, right, at the moment. Yeah. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is they watched Thrommel show up, and because Thrommel was showing up so much because of what Thrommel does, they decided to adjust. So obviously they're keeping an eye on that stuff too. But I think I really do think Marcus's numbers being shifted as high as it is at this point is just because we have – people than what we did.
No, I didn't think so. And I know the one fix that would change Marcus, but I don't think it will ever happen. But that's make the shield slam not 1S. If you make that change, I think you actually drop significantly.
I think if you make him 1S, at least then he starts getting benefit from Tomas's
it does power. It does provide more Tomas. But I think if you dropped his shield slam to 2S, which is the knockdown, then – You would, I think you would not see him nearly as many places.
But, probably not.
But yeah, so, all right. So that's right. That's your hero count. So, okay. So your hero stats.
Yeah. So let's, you know, we've got a little bit of time left, and I actually think we should dig into our warbands real quick. And just do some quick thoughts on those, if we have them or not. So, let's talk about your warband, Wonky.
Alright, so I'm playing Ista. I'm playing Dolnragar, Thrommel, Brock, Barnaskis, Isabel, Istariel, and Thorgar out of God.
Okay.
Pretty straightforward. I've played a kind of similar warband of a couple of times before with Ista. Really, the plan is... you know, an Ista brick, essentially.
Right.
Can go double defender and a lot of res and hit points if you want. Brock and Thorgar have a lot of hit points. Barney has a lot of hit points, can self-heal. And then you have an Isabel that just kind of glues it all together.
Sure.
Astariel's there for good anti-healing and anti-fire tech.
Yep.
She armor shreds as well. It's pretty solid. I am the only one taking Barnaskis. That slot was originally Lorybella.
However,
I felt with the other models in the warband, primarily Isabel, Astariel, and Thrommel, I'd really want Fate. Like, Astariel definitely is going to want Fate for Ring of Power first turn. Brock's probably going to buy stuff when he gets the monster kill, or Isabel will buy stuff because I have leveled her actually off monster kills before.
Right.
Thrommel wants to thread and hammer time as well. So it really just turned into, I felt like if I had Lorybella, I wouldn't get to grenade as often as I would like.
Makes sense.
And because of that, I thought it wasn't as worthwhile. Looking back on a couple of games, I think I took Barney last game. I'm trying to remember if I took Barney the first game or not. I might have dropped him. I think he banned my Thorgar. No, he banned my Astariel. I think I just brought, like, Brock, Isabel, Thorgar, Thrommel. Maybe I did have Barney in that game, too. But he's there for a setup piece. He just brings knockdown. If I wanted Lorybella, I think I would shift Thrommel to Marcus, perhaps, to provide the knockdown without Fate.
Hey, look at that. Number 16.
Yeah, it would have been number 16. So, but I like Thrommel. I like the hammer's fun. The hammer time's good times. A flying Thrommel is hilarious. So I prefer that. I could put Lori in there and just play her a bit differently, like more supporty. Because, like, if I've got, like, an Isabel, Lori, Dolnragar, Thrommel, in a damage dealer.
Right.
Like, how do you kill any of that? Because, like, you AoE heal for a couple. Then you probably could use her more as, like, a Soul Gaze bot and just use the gun.
Yeah, sure.
Kind of a thing. So, yeah, I like the warband quite a bit. I've been thinking about it a little bit lately, and I've been thinking about trying to try and sneak in a Soul Gazer. Probably in the Barnaskis slot, to be honest. And I think, like, Cruel is the one that pops to mind, because Bloodlust on Brock or Thorgar is fun. Bloodlusting a Thrommel is also very intriguing.
Yeah.
I have seen a pretty fun play where you Bloodlust a Thrommel and he goes to level 3 on turn 1, which is a good time. So, basically you Bloodlust him.
Yeah.
He charges a monster you weaken, and then you spend your additional fate plus the fate from the monster kill to buy Book of Experience, and then you spend the last action point because of Bloodlust to then get him to level 3. So I've seen that play before, and actually looking at the warband, that's a kind of hilarious play from the fact that no one really requires levels in this warband. Isabel likes them depending on the matchup. Brock does like the heroic destiny, but Brock will tend to naturally gain levels from murdering things. Thorgar, like, levels are pretty good, but not, like, required. Same with Astariel. Like, yeah, she likes levels. Fire not coming off is good. So yeah, but it does take away a little bit of fire combo with Astarial.
Yep.
But Cruel does kind of let me do some kind of dumb stuff. So Cruel might not be bad. Also, Svetlana could fit in a bit to try and set up the Astarial gun a bit more. But I might even drop a Thorgar for that, possibly. Because then you have Barney plus Astarial that could get value from the Svetlana gun. Or possibly go to a single tank. Because if you have Barney, Isabel, you know, I don't know. So,
yeah,
those are some buzz. I think trying to sneak in a Soul Gazer might not be the worst idea in this warband. I've had a couple of games where not having one was a little bit painful. But yep. I am currently sitting 2-0, so I'm doing okay. Granted, my last game was 100% dice bailed me out dramatically. So sometimes you can be good. Sometimes your dice can make you good. So go with that for the wisdom of the night.
That's wisdom right there for you.
Yeah.
You prefer to be lucky better than good.
I mean, I would prefer to be good and not have to luck out on my dice. But sometimes I'll take the lucking out on the dice. All right, Fabius, what is your warband, and if you got a bit of a breakdown for us?
Yeah, okay, so my warband, I'm playing Krognar, and I'm playing Rakir, Abathus, Nias, Maltik, Styx, and then out of God, I'm actually playing Fazeel and Marcus.
Okay.
So this actually came from a warband dojo challenge that Robbie had put into the dojo channel. Okay. About if you were to play Krognar and you weren't allowed to take Yorgath or Kogan, who, let's face it, are pretty much Krognar's best aggressors.
They are definitely Krognar's. I mean, they're some of their only, right?
It's like, I think Rakir, it's their only ones.
It's Rakir, Kogan, and Yorgath are really like the true yeah. Krognar damage.
And so he was like, if you couldn't take Yorgath or Kogan, who would mm-hmm. you take? And so, like, legitimately, the night that he posted this, I had already kind of been fiddling with a Rakir Krognar warband anyway. Yep. And so I was like, oh, well, I mean, okay, if I want some burst, I'll take Fazeel because I get the ability to decap, and there's not a ton of stuff in this warband that wants the fate anyway.
Yeah, I mean, Rakir will probably want it, but outside that, yeah, I mean, there's no, like, Zarin that definitely wants it for skeletons
at the end. Yeah. So it's one of those things I'm like, okay, I'll probably have decap whenever I want it. And then Marcus is just all around a good all around character of he can set up a knockdown for other people if I want.
Yep.
He can put up the wall if I need it. You know, he can do those really weird, odd things and throw out protective stance occasionally.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, let's just grab those two, throw them in the list, and screw it. I'm not going to LVO. I don't need to practice.
Yeah.
So let's try something weird. See how it goes, right? I've played two games now, and in my first game, I'm trying to remember who got banned. I want to say that it was, let's see, I'm trying to remember who I played first round.
First round, you played Kahos, I think is how you'd say that, Torin. Kahos.
Okay. Yeah, and he banned Rakir. I don't remember entirely who he banned. But I remember I played that game, and like the warband worked really, really phenomenally well, because with most of the models in the warband, I don't really have a problem getting them around the table.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm playing an incredibly mobile warband to begin with.
And yeah, then your warband's very mobile.
Right, and then I have the Krognar mobility on top of that. The one weakness I think I do have as a whole, right, is that I only have the one Shadow Orb user with Rakir.
Mm-hmm.
So if I take Umbral Sphere, which I'm going to, of course, but my Umbral Sphere person then has to really do some work to get those Shadow Orbs out early.
Yeah.
And that's happened a couple of points where I've had to really work on that and figure out what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But even if I have to call the effigy power to put them all back, use the Shadow Dance to put them all back and I put them at the effigy, I can realistically walk with a dash and I can pretty much charge back into a side that I want to be on with most models. But my second game was against Bad Ryan, and he was going to ban either the Rakir or the Marcus. He looked at it with my warband and went, cool, you have a ton of poison. I don't want to see that Rakir on the table.
Yeah.
And ended up choosing the Rakir. So I ended up dropping Maltik against him. And so I ended up with Abathis, Nias, Styx, Fazeel, and Marcus. And it really turned into kind of a knuckle-dusting brawl for a little bit, which was really interesting. But so far, the team has played about as well as I expected it to. Fazeel having the one-action effigy recall has been really kind of fun because it's one of those things of, like, he runs in, pops somebody.
And then he can get out before cool. they can punish him. Yeah,
I'm out! Peace! the next turn can do the same thing, right?
Yeah, that's pretty good on the Fazeel. Yeah, it seems good. Yeah, you've got some pretty good different ban options people could go after. And mm-hmm. yeah, with a couple of, poison combos with the Rakir and stuff, it's definitely pretty good. Because I was wondering why you didn't have Zarin, because I think Zarin could be pretty strong from, like, that secondary orb person, just to make that a bit better. And, like, skeletons are skeletons and whatnot, so...
So, no, you're 100% right. I wanted to try Nias in this setup mm-hmm. and see how it works, especially where kind of...
Yeah, I think Nias with the poison's pretty helpful. With Fazeel plus Rakir, I think right. there's definitely... Like,
that's the whole thing,
some
right?
more value there.
You're only going to be able to ban one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you ban Nias, fantastic, that's fine. I still have Fazeel who can set up poison for Rakir, or Rakir who can poison and set up Fazeel. As Bad Ryan found out in this last one, when we played, there was a point where he had Skull and Nias within, or not Skull and Nias, Skull and Zyvera within two hexes of Nias.
Mm-hmm.
So I hit Skull.
Yeah, and the Poison Cloud.
And I Poison Cloud Skull and Zyvera.
Yeah.
And then the following turn, I charged Fazeel into the Zyvera, like walked
charged. Yeah, her Poison Cloud's wild.
Mm-hmm.
It's
and so
for all the other stuff she does too, it's like, damn.
Yeah, right. So he walked, charged into her, hit her with a crit, and then pestilenced both of them.
Yeah.
And it ended up being to where, like, even Zyvera, who is a Soul Harvest 6, the soul that was, like, right next to her, she had to roll like a 10 because I had stacked
poison
all the buffs.
Plus pestilence,
Yeah, I had stacked so much stuff against it that it was basically like, you have to roll a 10 to even try to soul harvest this. This is hard.
Yeah.
You know. So both of them played wonderful games. They've definitely, Bad Ryan definitely made me think about the list a little bit more. Simply because he was using Gendrys to throw out forests.
Yeah.
He took Skull and Zyvera and immediately took Skull, charged the Gloom, right? Mm-hmm. Did the coin flips, got it to where Gloom was down to 2, walked Zyvera over there, was like, cut for 2, kill the Gloom. Now I have a level 2 Zyvera right away. And I was like, son of a bitch!
Yeah.
Well, and
yeah,
then,
level 2 Zyvera can be pretty good into,
yeah.
Some of the stuff that you can do with the
and then of course the
combat maneuvers.
Then of course walked her up and got her into the forest on the soul pit.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's like, cool, it requires
three pushes to move her one hex.
Yeah. Great. Yep.
I haven't played Zyvera in a bit because I've been a bit back on my no Soul Gazer kick.
Yep.
But she was picked up quite a bit, I think, with all the gruel that's going around.
Yeah. Let's take a look. I'm actually kind of curious.
She was taken 4 times.
That's not bad.
And there's 6 gruel, so I think one person played her out. But anyways,
So, I mean, legitimately, one of the changes I had thought about with this list is obviously if I had Yorgoth and Kogan available to me,
mm-hmm.
realistically, I probably would have one of them somewhere in this list.
And who would you drop for them?
Realistically?
Avathas or Fazeel, maybe?
It's hard to say. My honest thought process is probably Avathas, as much as I like him.
Mm-hmm.
For this setup, and it's because I think I would bring Kogan legitimately. Okay. So I have a ranged aggressor who can armor pierce a little bit better, so I'm not relying on Fazeel with an armor shredder.
I mean, you have Maltique that can go true damage on her shots.
I do, but not all those characters. I mean, yeah. Marcus still, I need a ring of power to get four dice even against.
True.
You know, so.
Yeah, but even three dice, right? Because the side, if you can shoot him three times, like, even if you're, even if you're glancing, right, it's two, it's, three, four.
Yep.
So, and I mean, if you it, do. Yeah. So if you even do like one or two solids, because yeah, 2, 3, 4 is what, yeah. 5, 9. Like,
yeah,
that's more than half of a Marcus, and that's enough to put him scared, right? Because
yeah,
the big thing with tanks is like they're so durable that it feels not worthwhile to put damage into them. But if you get some amount of like putting 9 on a Marcus that's 15 health, like, okay, oh, yeah, 6 damage, that's 2 crits from a damage 5 aggressor dead. Right?
Yeah, so, no, you're not wrong. Yeah. And she is in there for that reason as well.
Yeah.
But part of the problem, like, part of the biggest problem I have with Maltique, in my list as a whole, is that you do usually have to have somebody babysit her as well.
Yeah, she does tend to need a bit of that.
And in this case, that sticks his job in a way, is he sticks close to her if I need to take her. But I also like the idea of trading out one of the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
For a ranged aggressor that basically does give me, I now have a magic character and I now have a ranged character.
Yeah.
So, like, they wouldn't be bad. And realistically, the Zarin over Nias is not a bad choice either, instead, if I keep this warband the way it is. Because I have a Bothus who still gives me the ability to get a Coalesce token, eat it, curse people, use Pestilence, do all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's more makes your soul gazing game a bit stronger, and it makes your EP probably quite a bit stronger. Because like you said, if you don't have Rakir, you're only relying on the Umbral Sphere to put an orb somewhere, and like, yeah, there's value in effigy recalling essentially.
Yep.
Well, your effigy recalls are only one action to begin with, so correct, like, but it is, you know, before anything happens, really, right? Yeah. When you call an EP outside monsters moving. So there's value in it there, but it does. Zarin probably makes sure you have another Shadow Orb user. And I mean, Zarin's just Zarin.
Yeah.
So I don't hate the Nias, though, because it is set up for the Vizil plus the Rakir. So I do quite like that.
Mm-hmm. So it's been going very well for me so far. I'm currently 2-0 as well. So who knows? Maybe we'll meet in the third round.
We definitely could.
We very well could. But yeah, so, you know, obviously I tried something weird and wacky, and it's got me rethinking about the meta as a whole and what ways I can play with things and try weird things.
Yeah.
But who knows? More than likely, I will probably just for Adepticon go back to my Tomas, because that's comfort.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so that's what I got for my League Warband. Obviously, we talked about yours. Any final thoughts for the night with regards to Adepticon, That's Judgment, folks, LVO, any of that stuff?
No, I don't think, I think we covered most stuff pretty good. I guess the big thing would be for Adepticon, you know, get on the wait lists, because I'm assuming I'll have access to that, and if people don't show up, I think I've got to go down the order on the wait list if you want to show up for it. No, I think you'd have to buy the badge. I actually don't know exactly how Adepticon wait list technically work. Uh-huh. So I might have to follow up on that a little bit. So, but yeah, I would get on those if you want.
Yep.
That's probably the big one for Adepticon, because I know we're still ways. And make sure your stuff's painted.
Yes. That's the big one I was going to say.
The other thing I'll keep mentioning.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, guys, from myself here, you know, at the Summon and Wonky, of course, as always, if there are future topics that you want us to cover, please, obviously, ping us in the Discord and give us the topic, or DM it to one of us. We're more than happy to take those in. If there's a warband that you're thinking about or working on and you want some feedback and you want to hear it on the podcast, please send those to us. We love to hear from you guys. We're always open to those topics. And as always, guys, the game is out there. Get those games in, play them, have fun, and Wonky, let's portal on out of here.